Prior to acting on any legal matter, you should seek legal advice from a qualified legal attorney who can evaluate your situation and advise you accordingly.
Welcome to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH. Your Partner in Law is brought to you in part by the law firm Gregorick & Associates PLLC. Charting your course to a secure future. Your Partner in Law starts now. Here's your host, Rick Gregorick.
Good morning, Puget Sound. This is Scott Ralston live in studio, sitting in for Rick Gregorick. I'm joined also live, although not entirely
barely alive. Barely alive this morning.
Mr. Ted Hansen, we are a couple of associates from Gregorick Associates located Kirkland, Washington, right at the intersection of 405 and 520, which is convenient for all.
So, that it is.
So we're a planning firm, and what we deal with on a day-to-day basis is helping people plan their businesses, plan their estate plans, premarital agreements, you know, pretty much any type of planning. And the reason that we're such big advocates of planning is because when you plan early and plan often, things tend to go a lot better. I actually, Scott Ralston, am the one that handles a lot of the litigation in our firm, so I deal with contested.
You get the lovely part of the business, don't you?
I deal with contested issues. And, yeah. And you know, among the contested issues I deal with is I deal with business contests.
You do a little real estate contest.
Real estate, you know, family law, probate. And you know, the two I'd like to kind of highlight just for a moment that I deal with are the businesses where you have, you know, multiple owners and they've been in business for a while and sometimes things don't go well. People start to have disagreements over money. They start to have disagreements over business decisions, over control, et cetera. And it kind of looks like a family divorce, okay? So you know, business planning can help deal with the potential, perhaps the eventuality of business partners going their separate ways. So it's good to have business planning in place.
Absolutely.
And, you know, estate planning, same thing. It's good to have estate planning in place. We talk, you know, week after week after week about the different types of plans, the different types of issues that come up in planning, and the different types of disputes that arise when there is either poor planning or no planning in place. And so that's why we're such big advocates, is because, you know, we get to see through my firm, through my practice, and Ted does actually a little bit of litigation as well. It's probably not his favorite, but he does do a little bit.
Doing it way too long. See, I've learned and you haven't. See,
I know.
This is a difference.
Yeah, and just so you know, Ted is a California attorney, and he dealt with litigation for years years, and he's...
I'm finding my way into a kindler, gentler practice, Scott. That's what I like to say.
He's very capable. And, not liking litigation isn't because he hasn't got the experience in the litigation.
Yeah, just that I've learned. That's all. Yeah.
And it's common. It's common for litigators to kind of phase out as time goes on.
It is.
But anyways, I mean, one of the benefits of working with us is that we do have a lot of experience in conflict. In dealing with conflict cases, conflict resolution, so that experience kind of translates into our ability to work with our clients to do appropriate planning, to identify potential issues down the road, and to put in place planning that is appropriate to deal with the potentialities that exist.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the point that you're making is a good point, and that is that by other people's mistakes, we learn what not to do and how to teach you what not to do. And that there's some value in that. And that only comes with years and years of looking at this and dealing with clients, hundreds and hundreds of clients at this point, with Scott and I both, maybe thousands of clients. But anyway, the important part of it is that you need to get on this regardless. And also, when you have a business, a lot of people forget the other part of that, and that is, what happens if I pass away? How is my business going to continue? So we get into some of these issues as well. So pairing business with estate planning is also something that we focus a great deal on.
Yeah, and you know, pairing business planning, succession planning with estate planning is a really, really big issue, and it's very it can be very complicated. There can be tax issues. You know, sometimes there needs to be a schedule and plan for gifting, for transitioning. That's a form of type of legacy succession planning. you know, there can be huge issues between children. So, you know, you can have mom and dad owning a business and they have, you know, several children, and there is a lot of animosity among those children because perhaps one or two of those kids, but not all of those kids, are involved in that family business.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, we run into these types of issues, and you've got to do the appropriate type of planning to deal with that type of succession. And also, you know, the other side of planning is not just when you pass away under those circumstances, but also when you, you know, lose the ability to manage your own affairs.
Right.
And if you lose your ability to manage your own affairs, that means you've probably lost your ability to manage your business as well.
That's right.
And that's something that people really do need to plan for and, you know, work toward accomplishing in their planning. And try and figure out, okay, what happens if I become disabled? Who's in charge of my business? What should happen with my business? Perhaps when I become disabled, maybe that's the time when it is sold to my key employees. I mean, there's so many different options. We can't even begin to explore those options here today.
I'm always surprised by how few people actually consider that are business owners, that I ask them, well, what is the plan going forward? And they say, well, I guess I never really thought about it. And I say, well, perhaps that's something you want to think about.
We have an interesting scenario that we run into a lot, actually, along those lines. And I know that, Ted, you've run into this, and I've certainly run into it a couple times as well, is we actually have some very, very successful, high-value business owners that will come to us, and they've been in business 20, 30, 40 years and have done zero planning.
Yeah.
And we
estate or otherwise.
Estate, right? Or business planning. Yeah. And we've had this on many occasions. And I know, because I've been practicing here in Washington since 2006, and I can think of, you know, a dozen-ish so cases where we have had individuals come into our firm that have done zero planning. And, you know, that's a ticking time bomb. And, you know, we jump in, we get the work done, we get the planning in place, we work with the client. You know, it can take several months to get that type of planning in place, but it really is not an unusual event for us to have a client that comes in that has a very successful business and zero planning.
Yep,
and like I said, that is a ticking time bomb, because I can think of a couple other cases where we've had clients come in that did not do the planning and it was too late. And so those types of cases can lead to a lot of issues.
Right.
And, you know, I had a case that dragged on for 2-3 years when we were litigating over value of the business after the founding owner passed away. And, it, you know, that was not necessary. The planning should have been done. Planning was intended.
Yep.
Just client passed away.
Never took place. That's
yeah.
right.
And it just, you know, you got to watch out for those types
but
of
I
things.
But I think incapacity is the bigger portion of that. I mean, people die, obviously, but incapacity is the real issue here, because you're going along, your business is running great, and all of a sudden something happens to you, and now you have no ability to do it. You have no succession plan in place. Perhaps you're a sole business owner, maybe a small shop of some type, and now the doors are shut. Nobody can step in and do your run your business for you, which is what we want to avoid, folks.
Yeah, and the planning isn't just in the planning documents, in the powers of attorney or trust or within the management documents for the company itself. I mean, there's different avenues and different options for how this is addressed. But it's also just in the simple making sure that somebody that is going to step into your shoes understands how your business operates as
yeah.
well. So it's not just the business planning documents itself, but it's also making sure that the individuals that you are going to have step in and manage your affairs for you know how to manage the business, know where the books and records are, know where the bank accounts are. I know that sounds like, of course, duh, but it's the type of thing. You know, if you're driving down the street, you have a successful business, you have multiple employees, you support your family using this business, and then all of a sudden you have a car accident, who's going to step into your shoes? Who is going to take over and manage your employees, manage those bank accounts, manage your business accounts, meaning your client accounts, your vendor accounts? I mean, it's a complicated process, and if you're the one that manages all of that, you do need to have not just the right documentation in place, but the right people designated to come in and take over in the event you do become disabled.
That's right. And that may not necessarily be family members, you know, right? I mean, when it comes to the business, oftentimes it's not a family member, in fact, that takes over when somebody becomes incapacitated. It's some key employee in the business or something, which creates this friction as well with the family, because this is, you know, they're used to the income off of this business. They're used to this thing being their major asset. And now all of a sudden someone else is controlling it. And that creates unease as well with family members. So.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, it's not an unusual situation to have kids come in and take over the business and have disagreements. And those disagreements can lead to firings, things of that nature. I mean, yep. We've seen that occur as well.
Right.
So the point is, if you're, you know, a business owner and you do not have business planning in place, business succession planning in place, a plan for when you become disabled, a plan for when your partners become disabled, a plan for when you become in a situation where you're arguing with your business partners, it's time. It's time to sit down with qualified attorneys. We would, of course, recommend ourselves, but it is time to sit down and talk with attorneys and get that plan together. Yeah. Without the plan, you're looking at potential problems down the road.
Yeah.
They're costly. They can be very high conflict. They can end in results that you would not have wanted had you done the planning on your own.
Exactly. And the cost of planning is far less than the cost of not planning in so many cases. That's a common thread that we see all the time.
It is a common thread, not just in business planning, business succession planning, but a common thread within estate planning as well.
It is, yeah.
We're going to go to break here for a moment. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of our favorite topics, designation of beneficiaries on accounts.
Isn't that fun? 888-973-5476. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, your partner-in-law will be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long-term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
You know, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long-term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class. It's Thursday, July 19th at 7 p.m. in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Gregory, host of Your Partner in Law on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH. This Thursday is a great opportunity for you to come and learn valuable tools that will help you live comfortably in retirement. Retirement Freedom, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Along with my longtime colleague, Tom Koch, host of Talking Real Money, together we'll teach you an integrated approach to estate and financial planning. Trust me, we both know when you start planning for retirement, it can be overwhelming. So get the real truth about investments, healthcare options, and the legal issues that are an inevitable part of growing older. Join us this Thursday so we can teach you some very important options to help you get ready for retirement or make your current plan more efficient. Retirement Freedom, this Thursday at 7 o'clock in Kirkland. We still have a few seats left, so register now at yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorek on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to Your Partner in Law. This is Scott Ralston live in studio with Ted Hansen. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about business succession, business planning, and the importance of it, and also how that should be integrated into your estate planning as well. So we're going to shift gears here a little bit. We are going to talk a little bit about one of our favorite topics, which is planning through beneficiary designation.
Yes.
Now, planning through beneficiary designation. I've had this come up many times in my litigation practice where individuals don't do a will, or perhaps they do a will, but what they do is they keep accounts with beneficiary designations on them, or they change the beneficiary designations subsequent to the estate plan in such a way that it is inconsistent with the estate plan. What I mean by the estate plan is typically a will-based plan under this scenario. It could be a trust-based plan as well, but
more rare in that case.
Yeah, but what individuals do is they decide, okay, I'm going to do beneficiary designations on my accounts, and I'm going to give one to my son, one to my other son, and one to my daughter. And all of those accounts, when they are designated, are equal, more or less, at the time they are designated. So let's say 1999, you got three $200,000 certificates of deposit. You designate one for son one, one for son two, and one for daughter one. It's a perfect plan, right? Everything's equal. You're treating your children equal. Each one of them gets their own certificate of deposit. Sounds great. What we run into is that those accounts are never equal when someone passes away or
gets
they
sick.
Are equal when they become incapacitated and unable to manage their own affairs. And lo and behold, they become unequal over time. So what happens is, let's just go through the typical scenario. You make those designations, one to each of your three children. You become disabled, and somebody needs to come in and manage your own financial affairs. They need to pay your bills, pay the cable, pay for assisted living, pay for your phone, etc. So let's say you do son number one. He's the one that's designated. He comes in and he looks over the asset scheme and looks over your, quote, estate planning through beneficiary designation and says, aha, I see that this certificate is in my name. When my parents pass away, I will just go ahead and use my brother and my sister's certificates of deposit to take care of mom and dad.
Imagine that.
Okay. So your perfect equal estate plan ends up getting thwarted. So that is estate planning through beneficiary designation. Scenario number two, exact same setup. Child comes in, says, okay, I see that this CD number one is in my name. I will get it when parents pass away. I'm going to go ahead and close certificate number two and certificate number three. I'm just going to move those funds over here into this certificate, and I'm going to put these in my name.
To make it easier to manage.
To make it easier to manage.
That's right.
You know, these are the types of things that are very common. They occur all the time. They, of course, lead to litigation. And the reason that they lead to litigation is because your plan, which you are no longer to speak to because you're unable to manage your affairs due to, you know, incapacity such as Alzheimer's, dementia, or you've passed away and, of course, you cannot speak to it. These beneficiary designation plans are a terrible idea. And we really, really caution our clients to even consider doing this.
Yeah. And we hear all the time, too, like, well, I put him on my account so he can help me pay bills. And now they don't realize that they've created this joint account relationship well,
and
with
that's,
this other child.
You know,
that's another thing that we get
that's
into.
That's another issue that we get into is, I will, you know, I don't have a power of attorney. I don't have a will. What I have is I have beneficiary designations and then joint account holding. Again, these things, it's just a recipe for potential disaster.
It is. On
it
many
really
levels,
is.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens that's very similar along these lines is someone will go in, they'll sit down, they'll meet with their attorney, they'll put together the greatest estate plan imaginable for their circumstance. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's a will-based plan or a trust-based plan. It's got the appropriate powers of attorney, et cetera. But all of the accounts are beneficiary designation. And you need to make sure that your beneficiary designations are consistent with your estate plan. Because under Washington law, you cannot make a general designation in your will, for instance, that will capture those accounts. What I mean by a general designation is all of my bank accounts go to my residuary estate, divided equally between my three children. That doesn't work because what you need to do in your estate plan, if you're going to do it this way, is you actually have to specifically designate each of the accounts in your estate plan in order to have priority over a prior beneficiary designation. And again, we do not recommend doing it this way.
Yeah.
What we counsel our clients to do is make sure that their beneficiary designations are consistent with their estate plan. Meaning if you put together a will-based plan or a trust-based plan, with a will-based plan, you want to make sure that those beneficiary designations are your estate.
That's correct.
And if you do a trust-based plan, then what you're going to want to do is go ahead and move all of those accounts into your trust and retitle those accounts within the trust and rely upon your will or your trust to handle the bequests.
That's right. You got to point them in the right direction.
And that is the best way to avoid that scenario that we were talking about earlier where you have a child that comes in and thwarts your plan through a form of, in my opinion, of self-dealing. So when we get back from break, we're going to talk a little bit about rollovers and what to do with your 401ks, excuse me. Your partner-in-law will be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner-in-Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner in Law on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH. This Thursday is a great opportunity for you to come and learn valuable tools that will help you live comfortably in retirement. Retirement Freedom, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Along with my longtime colleague, Tom Koch, host of Talking Real Money, together we'll teach you an integrated approach to estate and financial planning. Trust me, we both know when you start planning for retirement, it can be overwhelming. So get the real truth about investments, healthcare options, and the legal issues that are an inevitable part of growing older. Join us this Thursday so we can teach you some very important options to help you get ready for retirement or make your current plan more efficient. Retirement Freedom, this Thursday at 7 o'clock in Kirkland. We still have a few seats left, so register now at yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregorick.
Well, kind of a laid-back intro there, isn't it? Hey, folks, we did want to mention, too, we do have an event coming up, as you heard in the last commercial, Retirement Freedom. That's going to be this Thursday in Kirkland in our offices. I do believe there's still some tickets available. If not, I apologize, but I believe it's still have some availability there. So if you have an opportunity to come out on a weeknight, by all means, please do so.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about the dangers of planning via beneficiary designation on your financial accounts. We're going to kind of stick with that theme, kind of a hybrid of that theme, and talk a little bit about rolling over your 401k.
Yes. And qualified plans in general.
And qualified plans in general. And, you know, when you're rolling over your 401k, there's a couple different options that you consider. But part of when you roll over your 401k is, again, another opportunity to take a look at, okay, who are my beneficiary designations?
Yep.
And one of the things is that on 401ks, you do need to designate an individual or you're going to need a retirement plan trust. Now, this is a different type of trust than the typical trust that we talk about on the show. We talk a lot about revocable living trusts. And a revocable living trust is a trust, which I like to use the metaphor bucket, that you use to manage your assets. You hold your assets in there, and whoever is in charge of that bucket is your trustee. So you,
that's right.
You put all your assets in the bucket, and your trustee walks around with that bucket. Now, your retirement accounts, 401ks and IRAs, cannot go in that bucket. They need to have their own bucket.
They do. Actually, people do that all the time, and that's a big problem.
It is a problem.
And there's a couple of reasons for that, and this, it gets a little bit technical, but the IRS says that you have to have what's called a qualified beneficiary to receive those funds. Generally speaking, that's a warm body. If it is not or it's misdirected, a couple of things can happen. The IRS does have what they call this five-year rule. So under certain circumstances, all of that money has to come out in 5 years. The other problem with that is that it's always going to look to the oldest beneficiary in the plan. So if that person is 70 and you have another beneficiary that's 18, when it comes time to take required minimum distributions, the 18-year-old will have to take as much out as the 70-year-old, which is not the way you want to do this. So when we talk about stretch IRA, this concept of allowing a younger beneficiary to take less money over time is really the issue here. So you want to make sure that those are directed into a proper vehicle to hold them. And that's a retirement plan trust.
And what you're trying to avoid in having to take it out in over 5 years is there are two issues. One, you're going to be taking out more money than you would like to take out and have that put you in a higher tax bracket, number one. And then number two, it's not going to be growing tax-free.
That's right.
So it's a double whammy.
Yep.
You know, when you have to do it that way, or not when you have to do it that way, but when you end up doing it that way. So it from a financial standpoint, it's a very, very poor decision to do it that way.
Yeah. Folks, we're gonna get into our next break here shortly, but when we come back, we're gonna kind of maybe flip back the clock here and talk a little bit about the nature of these accounts and why they're becoming more and more of people's estates and why they're critical to have planned properly. We'll be right back, Your Partner in Law. 888-973-5476.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorek. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorek & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long-term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
You know, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long-term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class. It's Thursday, July 19th at 7 p.m. in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Gregorek, founder of Gregorek & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorek on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Hey, a little Tom Petty this morning, get things going on. And folks, before we took our break, we're talking about IRA accounts and qualified plans in general, 401ks and IRAs. And I think it's important to point out that these accounts nowadays are becoming a larger and larger portion of people's estates. It used to be that the principal residence was what everything revolved around, right? We'll pay the house off, we'll sell the house, we'll downsize, we'll travel, we'll do this, all based out of the one asset. Well, that's not the case any longer. And nowadays, these things, specifically with matching plans, they grow rather quickly. And the thing is that they grow tax-free. So you see this money that's preferably off limits to you, preferably you don't use it, but just sits there and it grows tax-free in many cases. There are a couple of different types of these things, and the tax implications of them are vastly different, whether or not you have a traditional plan, which is pre-tax dollars, or you have post-tax dollar plans, which are not taxable, right? And I do think it's important to point out to everybody that there are essentially three types of these accounts. There's what you call a contributory account, which is the type that you pay into at work. The second prong would be what's called a spousal rollover account, which means that if you die and you're married, your spouse effectively, if done properly, can take that account and treat it as their own account. And then the third prong, which is the problematic prong, Scott, is what we call inherited IRAs. Now, the difference between those three is the first two are protected under federal and state law from what we like to call creditors and predators, but the third box, the inherited IRA, is not. So why is that problematic? Well, it's problematic in this respect. if the beneficiary were to have a creditor, for example, that would seize $100,000 of available funds, the money is gone, but the child still has the remaining tax liability for the $100,000 distribution. So this is why we come full circle again to talking about retirement plan trusts and the ability to change those things and to make that third bucket, that inherited IRA that's going to anybody other than a spouse, come out in a protected wrapper. So it provides asset protection for the beneficiary, and it also allows them to use their life expectancy to take out the required minimum distributions. And so that's the critical point of IRA planning. Like I'm calling it IRA planning, but it's retirement plan trust planning, and why we have this great new vehicle called Retirement Plan Trust to do this and to make this happen for you.
Yeah, the Retirement Plan Trust, I mean, again, the huge benefit is the creditor protection.
Yeah.
Because you do not get the creditor protection if you just go into the office and you designate your 401k plan primary, your spouse, secondary.
Children.
What? Yeah. It doesn't matter, actually. I mean, but typically, I mean, most individuals, I mean, the standard kind of pattern that most people follow is they're going to designate their spouse and then they're going to designate their children.
Almost always, yeah.
Or it could be a sibling. But what happens is if your spouse predeceases you, and then when you pass away, you're still employed and you're still in the 401k plan, that 401k rolls over into an IRA in your children's names. And when it rolls into that IRA in your children's name, it's now reachable by creditors.
That's right.
And that may not matter, but it may.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. And, you know, the good examples of where you would not want those funds to just go straight into an IRA without the asset protection of a retirement plan trust is if you have a child that has difficult marriages. You have a child that has
disability.
Yeah. You have a child that has a substance abuse problem. You have a child that just simply has money problems. They just spend everything. There are different types of planning that you can do through retirement plan trust to address that.
Yeah, and these are tremendous vehicles for shoring up these problem areas that we call them in those accounts in particular. And folks, generally speaking, there is no exception. Even with Roth, they don't have any required minimum distributions, but when you pass away, the money's coming out. Some people don't realize that you can't just leave that money there and it just grows and grows and grows and you never have to touch it. Well, that's not the case. While you're alive, that's the case. There are no required minimum distributions from Roth accounts, unlike traditional accounts, which do require you to take out a certain portion of that money every year, regardless of whether you need it or not, and, of course, pay the corresponding tax implications of that wherever your ordinary income tax bracket happens to be. So these are the kind of things that we want to point out to people and give them an understanding of how these devices work, because they are, like I said, becoming a larger and larger part of people's estates, and they need some focus, and that's why we like the Retirement Plan Trust for that purpose.
Yeah, so Retirement Plan Trust is a really important planning vehicle. The other thing that we were talking a little bit about earlier is when you leave that employer, what to do with those funds.
Right.
And, you know, you have
a few choices.
Traditional IRA, or you could choose a Roth IRA. Now, this requires some tax planning, because you have to just kind of take into consideration, particularly if you're going to do a Roth IRA conversion. If you do that, what's going to, you know, let's say you have $200,000.
From a traditional to a Roth.
Yeah, from a traditional to a Roth. Let's say you leave your employer, you decide you're going to roll it over and convert to a traditional. You're going to pay the taxes on that. And so if you've got $200,000 in your 401k and you convert that to a Roth IRA, you're going to get a $200,000 income.
Right.
And then you reinvest those funds in the Roth IRA.
Right. And then that becomes a non-taxable account on the back end. But the point of it is that these pre-tax dollar plans, you're going to get hit, folks, at some point in time. You or the person on the other end of the IRA is going to get hit with the distribution of the according taxes. And that's not a bad plan sometimes. I think, Scott, the trend is that if people are younger, that perhaps makes sense to convert. It may not make sense when you have $500,000, for example, in that thing. And certainly to do it all at once doesn't make any sense. Now, you can piece it out over time, and that I've seen that work for people too. They piece it out over time, and a lot of people will use those funds to buy long-term care insurance, for example, and that's a reasonable taxable hit that they take for using that money for another purpose. So So we'll talk a little bit more about these IRAs when we get back, folks. Again, if you have any questions, 888-973-5476, and your partner-in-law. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, founder of Gregrick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner in Law on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH. This Thursday is a great opportunity for you to come and learn valuable tools that will help you live comfortably in retirement. Retirement Freedom, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Along with my longtime colleague, Tom Koch, host of Talking Real Money, together we'll teach you an integrated approach to estate and financial planning. Trust me, we both know when you start planning for retirement, it can be overwhelming. So get the real truth about investments, healthcare options, and the legal issues that are an inevitable part of growing older. Join us this Thursday so we can teach you some very important options to help you get ready for retirement or make your current plan more efficient. Retirement Freedom, this Thursday at 7 o'clock in Kirkland. We still have a few seats left, so register now at yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregrick.
All right, welcome back, folks. We are talking about 401ks, IRAs, and other qualified plans and what to do with these things when you change employers, and you do have some options here. Scott and I talked a little bit about the basics behind these types of accounts and why they're an important item to plan for. But on a practical level, what are your options if you change employers? Well, there's a couple of them. One, you can transfer it to the new company's plan. That sometimes works.
If the plan allows.
Not if all, the plan not allows. All plans that's allow. Right. Yeah, and I guess we ought to say something about that, too, because not all these are the same. The critical part of these is what's called the underlying plan documents, the administrative documents that give you various options with what you can do with these plans. And some are very restrictive. Some are almost penalizing in some respects, particularly when we get back into that five-year rule. There are some plans that don't allow you to move that money out of that plan. So in some cases, the proper thing may be just to leave the money where it was and to open up a new account.
Some plans don't allow you to leave.
That's exactly
that
right.
That used to be more common. Used to be more common. I think that there are plans that more commonly allow you to leave the money there now.
Yeah, I think so too. But it used to be just like you said, that when you left that employment, that money had to
come
out. And there wasn't any choice there. And I guess I understand that from a management perspective. I mean, why would they still continue to manage funds for a non-employee and pay the appropriate fees for doing that? So So that is one of the options, if you're able to, is to roll it into the new company plan. And Scott talked briefly before about converting, and converting can work in some cases where you take a taxable plan, a non-Roth plan, and you choose either in a lump sum or over a period of time to convert that money into a Roth-based plan, which simply means that you pay the tax hit now on that money or over a period of time. And when the money starts coming out, not only do you not have to take required minimum distributions from a Roth, but you can take that money out on a tax-free basis.
Okay. So grows tax-free.
Definitely has some some benefits for doing something like that. But these are choices, again, that are going to be situational, folks. And the big issue usually with rolling it into a new employer's plan is, generally speaking, it's the matching component. And by that, I mean most of us have these plans by which you contribute a certain amount to the plan, and the employer matches X percent. Some cases, up to 100% of your contributions, which is a really, really powerful advantage to these plans in the matching arena.
Well, and there are some mechanics, at least, and this is speaking actually from personal experience, when you leave one employer and go to another employer and you want to roll from your former employer's 401k into your new employer's 401k, is you typically are not qualified to be in that 401k until after at least, 90 days or something to that effect.
That's right.
Depending on what the plan rules and your employer rules are. So if you have an employer that requires you to take the money when you leave your employment, you may have to put it first in an IRA, and then take it from that IRA and roll it into the new 401k.
That's right.
So there can be some mechanics involved in that as
happen.
Well.
Right, and you got to be conscious about how you do that too. Generally speaking, when we're dealing with qualified plans of any type, we're talking about what we call trustee-to-trustee transfers. That is, in almost every case, do not take a distribution in your own name, because the IRS will treat that under certain circumstances as if you've taken the entire distribution. Now, there is this 60-day rollover option. If that were to happen to you, you have, 60 days in which to convert that into a qualified plan of another type. But you got to remember to do that. And if you blow that timeline, you've just taken a distribution.
Yeah. And what is the consequence? Almost everybody knows the consequence of taking that distribution, but it's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
First of all, it's going to get added to your income. So if you're in a lower tax bracket and all of a sudden your 401k is deemed distributed, you're now in a very high tax bracket potentially.
Yep.
And there's a 10% penalty for taking the distribution early.
Yeah, generally, under 59 and a half, certainly.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
And that additional 10%. So, I mean, you're pushed into a higher tax bracket, and you end up with taking the 10% penalty if you're under a certain age.
And that's a big hit. I mean, we're talking significant money in many cases here, right?
Yeah.
And the according tax hit is astronomical in some cases. So these are the kind of things that we like to point out about these plans and why we feel in particular that they need a specific focus, and that's why we're gigantic fans of these retirement plan trusts for that reason. So anyway, folks, for all of you that have these accounts out there, please, please take into consideration how you plan for those. Make sure your beneficiary designations are up to date. Generally speaking, as Scott was saying earlier, whoever's on the ticket and the day you die is the one that's going to get the funds, right? So only under rare circumstances does that ever get changed. We talked a little bit about this earlier, and beneficiary designations can be dangerous if not done properly.
So, well, and in addition to that, not only can they be dangerous if not done properly, with your retirement plans, the rules that we were talking about earlier about your integration with your estate plan, where if you designate it in your estate plan, may also not be effective. Okay, because federal law may very well trump state law.
Yes, that's a good point.
Particularly with
these kind of accounts.
Yep, these kinds of accounts. And that's another issue that we've run into where people were trying to use state law, and state law isn't necessarily going to be applicable to a retirement plan.
Right, exactly.
Beneficiary designation.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, folks, the IRS has their own play-by rules here, and they don't necessarily comport with state rules. And Scott was wise to point that out, because that is a risk and an issue out there for people.
So what's the point here? You got to do your planning.
You got to plan, right?
That's right. We're and that's how we started zero. The hour. We started the hour just talking about what we're big plans of, and we're big fans of planning. You know, the issues that we're talking about here are just, you know, part of the overall package of issues that need to be discussed with your attorney when you sit down and you do your estate planning.
Yep. So we got your business planning. We've got your estate planning. And then finally, Scott and I talked about planning for qualified plans. So we've all come back full circle again to this thing we natter you about every Sunday, and that is get off your butt and plan, right?
Yeah, and we know you're out there. We know.
We know
you're procrastinating.
Yeah.
So we have coming up Thursday. We've got an event. That's one opportunity for you to get up off your butt, as Ted said.
Yep.
And if you're interested in that, give us a call at the office. We'll be back in the morning, 425-284-3450. That's Gregorick & Associates, conveniently located Kirkland, Washington.
Well, folks, nice chatting with you this morning. Hope you all have a safe Sunday, and we'll be back next week.